This is Radio Superior 1951, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Saturday evening, April 7th, 1951. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the sports. Harriet's here with a review of the Superior State play Silver Spoons. And I'm afraid we're going to get lectured by Colonel Raffaele on the latest civil defense stuff. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Cape Heart Television. Don Mason will give away one Cape Heart Television every Saturday morning to a lucky KUWS listener. Evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Red Chinese stiffen their defense as Marines slog along the 38th parallel, and Congress is in a row with General MacArthur. We begin our world report from the ROK front lines with Richard Pierpont.
We have just hit the dirt. I don't know whether this tape is still going, but I'm awful low right now. What was that that came over?
That was artillery.
Time to raise that thing. Now it's just 1 o'clock, straight up and down on the morning of the 18th, and we're still out here on the hill with Fox Company and Captain Sutton looking down at Chinese throats as they try to advance up the valley here. Whoop. That was a big one.
This is Lyle C. Wilson in Washington. Administration leaders and Congress are disputing General Douglas MacArthur's contention that the critical battle with communism is in Asia rather than Europe. The Democratic leaders were silent on Republican demands that MacArthur be brought home to report on the situation in Korea and the Far East. MacArthur brought these questions to the fore in a letter he wrote to House Republican leader Joseph Martin. The letter, which Martin read to the House, backed sentiments Martin has calling for the use of Chinese nationalist troops on Formosa against the Korean and Chinese communists. Democratic Senator Gillette from Iowa, another Foreign Relations Committee man, says that whether MacArthur should return to the United States is a decision for the United Nations to make. Quoting Gillette, "It is high time the administration and Pentagon come clean with Congress and the American people," end quote. The State Department has been openly unhappy over MacArthur's frank discussions of diplomatic affairs. The general's latest writings come to light while American diplomats try to quiet the worry of allies over Chinese reaction to a new push into North Korea. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press.
President Truman has asked Congress to add $6 billion to the $42 billion the armed forces are authorized to spend this year. The request will cover debt from the expansion of the armed forces to 3,462,000 men by June the 30th, when the fiscal year ends. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, has been reelected to a third term. Mayor William Kemp declares his victory ends the threat of political corruption from the Pendergast machine once and for all. It was the late Pendergast who helped President Truman get elected as a county judge and then a United States senator. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has this message from Cape Heart Television.
Thank you, Lou. Friends, the Cape Heart Coffee Club. Each morning, Monday through Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the new incomparable Cape Heart Television set. Listen to this. You can win one of these beautiful Cape Heart television sets. It's easy to win this exquisite $319 blonde wood Cape Heart television set. Send in a postcard with your name, address, and telephone number to the Cape Heart Coffee Club, Superior, Wisconsin. Then listen to the Cape Heart Coffee Club each morning, Monday through Saturday at 8 a.m. Featuring the man with the smile in his voice, Don Mason. During the hour, Don gives one or more key words, which at the end of the week make up the mystery sentence. And the first listener that correctly identifies the mystery sentence wins the incomparable Capehart television set. There's nothing to buy and no strings attached. So join today. Lou?
A public housing site is opposed by the Superior City Council. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
In his last council meeting Thursday evening, Lou, Councilman Lawrence Hagan went on record as opposed to a proposed site between 5th and 8th Street west of Catlin Avenue for a new 200-unit housing project. For the lame duck council session, the entire city council was present except Richard Wheaton, who resigned. Council President Clyde Thomas and Councilman Edward DeBrock, H.W. Brace, George Erickson, and Henry Scudstead were there. Hagan says he's sickened to think of people moving into that area. Quoting him, "May as well put a concentration camp there," unquote. Hagan says the location is on a swamp bounded by railroad tracks. Quoting again, "There is plenty of space in the city. I hate to think about kids around railroad tracks," end quote. DeBrock agreed the project should be put somewhere in the city, which would give the tenants a better outlook on life. The Superior Housing Authority is looking for a site to build 200 units similar to Park Place as a federal project. The council will talk about it at their next meeting. The city fathers also adopted a different liquor ordinance. This comes after an advisory referendum showed that the majority favor keeping the taverns closed on Sunday. The County Tavern League asked the council to restore Sunday hours. The council took the hours away as a war measure in 1943. 7,000 people voted to keep taverns closed on Sunday, while 3,700 were for opening them, Lou.
Senator Joseph McCarthy has been ripped by the National Chief of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. John Powell reports from Madison.
VFW National Commander Charles C. Rawls traveled from Seattle to Madison to slam Senator McCarthy. He says the senator from Appleton is hurting anti-communist efforts. Quote, "I am for a congressman or senator who's carrying on a fight against communism, but I want that fight to be sensible. Senator McCarthy should forget about the publicity. He is hurting the work of those who are fighting communists by making unfounded charges," unquote. Rawls is also critical of Ohio Senator Robert Taft for his stand on a debate on sending troops to Europe. He says, quote, "Senator Taft should stick to politics and let the five-star generals run the military end of planning defense strategy," unquote. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
The Wisconsin State Senate is considering a bill to permit Superior to keep all the tax money from the oil pipeline terminal facility. The Assembly has passed a bill sponsored by Superior Assemblyman Byron Osby that the Lakehead Pipeline Company terminal in Superior be taxed at the state rate, but that all tax revenue would revert to the city of Superior. Osby's bill has gone to the Senate, where an identical bill waits from Senator Arthur Lindrup, Jr. of Superior. The baby boom continues in Superior. Boys led the grand parade into the world last month. 102 children were born in March. 58 boys, 44 girls. The health department reports that male babies also top the list for the first 3 months of the year with 144. The girls' side, it was 127. By contrast, for the same months of 1950, girls outnumbered the boys 118 to 107, Jack.
I wonder how many are named Jack or Jackie.
Or Lou or Luella.
That's a Lou Martin, the best baby newscast around. Let's check the forecast for this Saturday night, April 7th, 1951. Warmer and sunnier tomorrow, with a high around 52 degrees. You'll still need a sweater for church tomorrow, folks. And now it's music time. Here's Gogi Grant and the Wayward Wind on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Wayward wind in a lonely shack by darker days, and I guess the sound of the outward bound made him a slave to his wandering ways. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind.
Logie Grant and the Wayward Wind on KUWS.
It's my pleasure to bring in community editor Harriet Farig.
Good evening, Lewis. And I think you'd be a natural for television.
Even though he has a face for radio.
Oh, Jack, don't be mean to Lewis. And television will never replace live theater anyway, boys. The Superior State College Players production of Silver Spoons met with unanimous approval at its opening last night. This fast-paced story by Anthony Trollope played before one of the largest audiences ever to witness an opening night drama at the college. And the reaction was a tribute to director Miss Catherine Oman. The cast's players received plaudits from the audience for a performance which could only be characterized as excellent. Each actor played his role with excellence. At no point was the enunciation of any member of the cast anything but near perfect. Again, a tribute to Miss Oman. The performance of Mary Vern Bartolone as Madeline Stanhope Neroni shows her to have the makings of an accomplished amateur actress. The same may be said for Lee Fonger as Mr. Slope, Philip Fraser as Mr. Arabin, David Ottensmeyer as Bertie Stanhope, Joanne Fagan as Mrs. Prouty, Seagar Swanson Jr. as Dr. Stanhope, and Jane Manquist as Eleanor Bold. It was such a wonderful evening to watch such a well-rounded play, Lewis. The final curtain is tonight at 8:15.
Superb review, Harriet.
She always gives glowing reviews. Even you could play the lead in Swan Lake, and she'd say it was great. How about a little criticism once in a while, Harriet?
All right. You're impertinent.
How about his choice of socks?
Well, it would help if they matched.
How about his cologne?
He should dab it on instead of bathe in it.
All right. Sheesh.
How about his haircut?
It'll work when mohawks are back in vogue.
All right. I get the message. Be nice.
Especially to college actors. I was just kidding about your breath.
You didn't say anything about my breath.
Not that you know of.
Boy, tough room. Rapid Ray is in next with sports, folks. So let's enjoy the wonderful, wonderful music. How's that, Harriet?
Much better. It's important to be positive.
Of Johnny Mathis on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Sometimes we walk hand in hand by the sea, and we breathe in the cool, salty air. You turn to me.
bliss in your eyes, and my heart feels a thrill beyond compare.
Special for Harriet, that's Johnny Mathis, and Wonderful, Wonderful, on KUWS.
Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. Boy, Harriet sure read you the riot act.
In three parts, no less.
So do I have bad breath?
Well, not that you would know. Hello, fans of the sporting world. The Canucks are just one win away from Lord Stanley's Cup Finals. Boisterous Montreal Canadiens coach Dick Irvin shouted, "Who's doing the chasing now?" as his comeback lads are back on home ice tonight, needing only one more win over the Red Wings of Detroit to make it to the finals. Montreal is manned by a few veterans and 10 eager rookies, including Bernie Boom Boom Jeffrion. A sellout crowd of 14,221 watched, where are we here? Detroit's defending cup champs take it on the chin, 5-2. Meanwhile, the Maple Leafs of Toronto hold a 2-1 edge over the boys of the Boston Bruins, with action resuming tonight in Toronto. The New York Yankees are wailing the ball in exhibition games. Hank Bauer leads the club with a .439 batting average. Rookie Mickey Mantle is hitting .437, and Gene Woodling is at .421. Jolton Joe DiMaggio is down a ways at .327. You know, Bob Feller might not be the fireballer of yore, but he'll strut his stuff as the Tribe of Cleveland heads out east on a barnstorming tour before the start of the regular season. Feller will pitch against the New York Giants tonight. He'll follow a not-so-great outing by early Wynn. Wynn gave up 5 runs in the first, but he blanked the Giants after that. The daddy of them all, Denton Trueyoung, lit up his pipe and celebrated his 84th birthday in New Philadelphia, Ohio. That's right, Cy Young is alive and kicking. In fact, the greatest pitcher of all times, who won 511 games over a 23-year career, was feted by 700 people and presented with a brand new car. That's the Hams Beer 6 o'clock sports. Remember, fans, Hams is refreshingly yours. From the land of sky blue waters. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everybody loves a good sport. Jake?
That's why everyone loves Rapid Ray. I don't think the same can be said about our next guest, though. Here's Percy Faith and the song from Moulin Rouge on Martin and McKenna Show. And the song from Moulin Rouge on KUWS.
Frenchy song, huh? And McMartin, you don't have to introduce me. The people out there know who the Colonel...
Raffaele, Civil Defense Director.
Is.
You might not need an introduction, Colonel. But after all these years, maybe it'd be nice if you got to know our name.
McCueball and McMartin. That's easy. Alias Frick and Frack. All right, people... Listen up. I've got a vital message from Douglas County Civil Defense Director Larry Ryan. He would have been here himself, except he doesn't think many people listen to this show, so I guess I'm here instead.
So, you're the B Squad, eh, Colonel?
Yeah. Can't figure it out. They say I'm abrasive. I rub people the wrong way.
No.
That's what they said, and I don't understand it. All right. You out there, pay attention. It's time you know what to do when you get bombed.
Let someone else drive.
Don't do it on a work night.
No, 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 no. Couple of goons. I'm talking about the big one. The Ruskies come flying over Superior and let go with an A-bomb. Civilian defense is what could save as many as half of us. Think of it. If it hadn't been for the civilian defense program in England during WW2, there wouldn't be an England. They got bombed more than any other country. Frankly, it is my opinion that Superior probably won't get A-bombed.
That's a relief.
One of those big boys costs $5 million bucks apiece. And since the Riskies only have about 70 A-bombs, I don't think they'll waste any here.
You sit around and think about this stuff?
Darn right. It's fun. Anywho, I figure Sault Ste. Marie will get bombed before we do. They got the Sioux Locks, and one A-bomb pretty much puts the ore boats out of business from Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. But you never know. Those commies are tricky. They might think what I think, and then think the opposite, thinking we're thinking that way.
You think?
I think. So people with cabins outside of town, be prepared to offer your cottages to the general good of the people who are running like hell. Running to beat the band out of Superior. And another thing. You paying attention, McCorkle?
That's McHugh Ball.
That was yesterday. Today it's McConkle. Now anyway, each and every homeowner will have a duty in the event of a sudden surprise risky attack. This is a sensible thing to do. So Frick and Frack, I don't expect you to understand, but, you know, stay with me here. In the coming weeks, Miss Nona McQuinklin will contact each district in the city and make house-to-house canvasses to determine what each person can do.
So, Lou, what do you think McQuilkin's real name is? Quilkin?
Judging by the Colonel's track record, I'd say it's Johnson.
I'm ignoring you two. Miss McQuilkin will assign people duty in the warden service, nursing, or auxiliary police. And someone in each home should know about first aid. This is important, people. Aid stations will be set up around the city. Each first aid station will have two doctors, two dentists.
Atomic bombings can cause cavities?
I'm especially ignoring you, McPugby. As I said, each first aid station will have two doctors, two dentists, two nurses, and 150 stretcher bearers. And pay attention, people in Duluth. The Reds know no boundary lines. They've proven that often enough. So mutual aid districts won't be separated by borders. Duluth, Superior, and the Iron Range will probably all be included in the same district. That is all.
Sheesh. This was a fun show until the Colonel showed up.
I'm a little depressed.
Let's liven things up, Lou. Here's the crew cuts. And for our A-bomb Colonel, this is Shaboom on the Martin and Cue Ball Show.
Hey, da dee ding dong, a lang a lang a lang. Boom, ba do, ba do, ba do, ba day.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again.
Oh, life could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to,
baby, we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom. Shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom, shaboom, ya-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, shaboom. Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby, we'd be so fine. Life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again. Boom, shaboom.
Hey, da dee ding dong, da lang, da lang, da lang.
Shaboom,
ba do, ba do, ba do, ba be. Life could be a dream.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Life could be a dream if only all my precious plans would come true.
with you and let me spend my whole life loving you.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Shaboom, shaboom. Do shaboom, shaboom. Do shaboom, shaboom. Sweetheart!
The Crew Cuts and Shaboom. So, Ray, you think we should go into television someday?
Not me. I like radio. Besides, only a few people with big antennas on their rooftops can even get TV. The nearest stations are in the Twin Cities.
Well, that'll change in a couple of years. KDAL and WDSM have both applied for television licenses here.
How come our station hasn't?
Because we're smarter. TV is going nowhere.
McCracken's got that right. Who in her right mind would want to sit in their living room and see you three clowns giving them the news, sports, and weather?
Oh, I think being a clown would be a whole lot of fun, boys and girls.
The Colonel's right. Even with a good antenna, all you can see are some images in a snowstorm.
My vote is radio. That's all I need. Turn it on and I've got all my friends in the living room with me.
Exactly. I mean, radio has Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Edward R. Murrow, and Arthur Godfrey. They'd never leave radio. Television just couldn't compete.
And those TVs are pretty pricey.
The one time I watched TV, it was terrible. It did something awful to people who were on it. They all looked like little some kind of wooden freaks.
Wooden freaks?
Yeah, it gives me the shivers just remembering it. It was, what was it called? McHowdy Doody Time. Ooh, great.
Should someone tell him about Howdy Doody?
Probably best not to.
That's it, folks. Stay tuned for Gene Autry, Hopalong Cassidy, and Gangbusters. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing. And the Russians don't want to spend $5 million on Superior. For Lou Martin, Harriet and Ray.
And Colonel Joseph A. Ravelli, Civil Defense Committee.
This is Jack McKenna. Sweet dreams.
Of course, there's Friday night boxing on television. Some of the taverns have that on.
Some nights the reception isn't bad.
Ah, Friday night boxing. What a perfect way to relax.
If it gives us fellas an excuse to spend the evening in the pub, television might have a future after all.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1951, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, John Munson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1951 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.